Stand and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 1. And of course, we continue with our series, Learning with the Master. And we are looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount starts in chapter 5. I don't know why my microphone is playing games with me right now. Five and goes all the way to chapter 7. So this is a long sermon that comes from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at Matthew chapter 7 verse 1. And it says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with that judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with measure ye meet, ye shall be measured to you. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they tremble under their feet and turn again and rent you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are quick to judge many times. And we have a tendency to judge the works of others and the reactions and actions of others, and we forget to judge our own things that we do. Lord, forgive us of that. I pray today, Lord, as we look at this message, help us to understand you are the judge of all the earth. We are just people. I pray, Father, for someone here that never received Jesus as Savior. May today they look upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this young man named Tony. Before I get my message, let me put it like this. I had a good time yesterday. We had our annual cookout at my house, and then we have two annual things. We have our Christmas party in the end of the year, and we have our annual cookout that if we had a church, of course, our own church building, we would do it at the church grounds, but we don't have it, so we do it at my house. I had a good time. The only thing is, I'm tired today. My young body is suffering a little bit here today. But anyway, we had a good time yesterday, and it was a blessing to have you there and just enjoy each other, have a good fellowship and talk, until we got chased by the mosquitoes. Mosquitoes were just beating us up towards the end of the day, and they were vicious. Anyway, all right, so this young man named Tony was at the place of work and minding his own business, as usual, that I do. A co-worker approached him and asked him a question that was not work-related, totally not work-related. So in order for me he said that to me, moving on, of course. He said, "So in order for me to get to heaven, I have to believe in Jesus, right?" I replied, "Yes, according to the Word of God, the Bible, you must confess your sin, repent of your sin, and ask Jesus to save you." The co-worker replied, "What about if I don't want to believe in Jesus and find another way to get there, like maybe believing in Allah, believing in Confucius, or some other deity out there? Am I going to hell or to heaven?" I reply, "According to the Word of God, the Bible, you will go to hell." Co-worker, "That is why I don't like Christians. They are too judgmental, and you need to stop judging me." I reply, "You came to my working area, asked me an unrelated question on which, with all respect, I told you and I answer you every time according to the will of God. Who is judging who here? Did I judge you or did God's word judge you?" You see, now, situations like this happen constantly every day. We live in a day, an age, And more likely in society, on which when people are faced with truth, immediately they say, "Don't judge me, or else I will judge you." So, When people are faced with moral issues and confronted, they immediately come with a statement, "Don't judge me, you are too judgmental." Now, why is this happening? This is an easy question to answer. We live in a society on which is far removed from morality. We live in a society that is far removed from upright, righteous living. Let me put it this way. There was a day and age, even people then didn't go to church. They had a sense of right and wrong. Alright? They had a sense of what is right and what is wrong. Today, we live in a day and age that you say something, well, they think different than you think, and it let you know, who are you to tell me that I am wrong? I mean, you know they're deadly wrong. But we have to be careful as Christians that we don't become across as judges, but people that love the Word of God. But let me tell you this for the record. When we tell somebody, or when we try to tell somebody they are wrong, we have to say it in love, not as a come across as a judge. You follow that? We're going to learn this from Jesus this morning. So they're doing today, many people are doing today, whether it is right in their own eyes, and when confronted with truth, they will tell you, do not be judgmental. Folks, let me put it this way. There's nothing new under the sun. Alright? This cycle repeats itself. If you go back in the Bible, the book of Judges, people who are doing the same thing, right in their own eyes, they don't judge me. We live in the same society today, like repeating itself, isn't it? So, now, to Christians, do Christians have the right to judge other people's behaviors? Now, we must be careful how we talk to people, especially when we try to correct their immoral behavior. Because it's easy to point out other people's sins, even using a tone of voice that sounds like more like a judge than someone with a loving concern, and forget about our own sin. Alright? Look what it says in verse 3. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye?" We must be careful how you pass judgment on other people. And the question is, should Christians judge others? Keep that in mind, that thought in mind, that question in mind. Some people judge others based on their standards, not on biblical principles. In other words, if people don't live up to their standards, they have something to say about it. And a lot of times, not even Bible. You follow that? Your standards, listen to this, may not be my standards, and my standards may not be your standards. It doesn't mean that you and I are wrong biblically. Okay? That brings up this question. It is ever right to pass judgment on the actions of others? Be careful how you answer this question. You might think that Jesus would say, no, it is never right to judge another. Instead, Jesus said, it depends. There are times when you can judge and times when you cannot judge. In the five verses that we have here, we read here today, have something very important to say about this manner of judging one another. Whether we admit or not, we all engage in judging from time to time, don't we? Some people have even made it their lifestyle to judge others to their standards. Some people like this. They don't live up to my standards. Guess what? They're judging. For an example. Alright, so you go to the restaurant after church. You sit at the restaurant. And you do everything by the letter of the law. The fork in the left hand, the knife in the right hand, the cup in front of you, you know, the elbows off the table, and a nap in your lap, and you just make sure you don't open your mouth because it's not right. And the guy next to you, head in his head, elbows on the table, and then you, what are you going to think? What an animal. What do we do? We're passing judgment. That's their standards. Listen, are they doing something wrong? According to you, they are. But they're looking at you too, and they go, "Why are they eating like that?" See, why am I going to judge something like that? See, your standards are not their standards. You follow that? So we have to be careful. So, if Christians were to pick their favorite verse in the Bible, I would probably guess that would be John 3:16. Now, If the world were to pick its favorite verse, I probably would guess that would be Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. And we hear this more and more these days. Now, not many unsaved people know the Bible, okay? But it seems like everyone knows this verse. All right? They may not even know where to find the verse. They couldn't tell you what chapter it is and where to find it. But it seems like they know how to quote the verse. So the problem is that they don't know in its context, of course. They don't know what God is standing here. But they use it out of context, but they shove that right on people's faces, don't they? Don't judge me. They know the verse. So the other problem is that when people tell you, do not judge, they are usually judging you and returning back the conversation to you. They say, oh, don't judge me, or don't judge me, when in the same time they're judging you already. It happens a lot in conversations. So let's look at this morning from several points about the subject, do not judge, or don't be a judge. Are you a judge? If you look at your life, you consider yourself a judge over people or a very judgmental person. There are people that are very judgmental. Any little thing. They judge about everything. Doesn't matter what it is. They judge people's words. They judge people's actions. They judge this. They judge that. And a lot of times what we need to do, we need to sit back and watch, because sometimes our eyes lie to our spirits. We see and we don't understand the concept, then we begin to talk about something in a judgmental way, and we were totally wrong. All right, let's look at this. What does Jesus mean by do not judge? Verse 1. Since this verse is so often used out of context, we should begin by answering the question, what does Jesus mean when he says do not judge? So, does it mean that we Christians should never point out the wrong on others? Okay, does it mean that it is wrong for us to correct those who are morally wrong? Does it mean that when we try to correct others, we are morally wrong, we are being judgmental? Does it mean what Jesus says right here, does it mean those things? Well, let's look at this. Letter A, Jesus is not prohibiting making moral judgments. Look what it says in verse 1. First of all, when Jesus said in verse 1, judge not, he's not prohibiting making moral judgments, that is, discerning what is right and what is wrong according to the Word of God. We know this to be true because in other places in the Bible actually requires us to make moral judgments upon people that is living wrong. All right, we're going to look at this in a second. In fact, later in this chapter, we're going to look at this. Twice in this verse 6, Jesus tells us not to cast pearls before pigs. And then again, in verse 15 to verse 20, when he tells us to watch out for false prophets, what we are being? We're being judges. Why? Because something is being done wrong. So, if you have a false teacher in the church and you single him out and say, I need you to be correct because you're wrong. And he's going to say to you, do not judge me. Are you judging that person righteously? Yes, you are. You're not defiling what God says. You're doing it right. All right. So, number one, it is a problem of the heart. Folks, the problem of our society is a problem of the heart. There are many people in our society who are in need of a spiritual surgery. All right? Who is the best doctor you can go for heart surgery? Jesus. He's the great physician. He specializes in hearts. I said, well, I know many heart surgeons out there. But this one is different. This one goes over and cleans your heart from sin. He's a different one. He specializes on that. So there are many people in our society. And their problem, let's focus. The problem of our society is the problem of the heart. They are filling their hearts with filth. You might be in a judge. No. I'm looking to the words of to the Word of God, and guess what? The people are filling their hearts with filth. Look what it comes out of their mouths. Profanity. There's no respect for elderly people. There's no respect for little kids. They spit it right out in the middle of nowhere. And so, all got used to it. That's the new norm. I'll tell you what. Wickedness and profanity, let me tell you, it's not a new norm. It shows the wickedness of somebody's heart. That's why they need Jesus. So there are many people in our society who need spiritual surgery. So unless they have spiritual surgery, they're going to continue the same way. If I say that you are a jerk because you're acting like one, I'm not judging you, I'm telling you the truth. Isn't it? You know, sometimes you need to hear that. Hey, stop acting like a jerk. Oh, do not judge me. I'm not being a judge, I'm telling you the truth. Right, okay. If I see you stealing, and I tell you, stop being a thief, am I being a judge? No, I'm telling you the truth. If I'm telling you that you should not use profanity in front of a young child or a lady, I'm not judging you, I'm teaching you to respect others. You know what the problem of people is? The lack of respect for another human being. Let me put it this way. If we respect our fellow man, abortion would disappear. Amen. All right? If you respect our fellow man, crime would be next to nothing. All right? If you respect our fellow man, racism would disappear. The problem is this people have no respect for their fellow man. And if we respect our fellow man, which are made in the image of God, guess what? Those things would disappear. But let me tell you, when we tell these people these things, let me tell you, we're not judging, we look into the Word of God and we're saying, you are wrong. If you see somebody, let's say a guy that is drunk, beating up his child or his wife, and you try to help him and tell him, straighten him up, are you being a judge? No. So, a person that does not understand, this is a person who needs spiritual surgery. A person that does not understand this is a person who is ignorant and a person who does not care about anybody else, listen to this, but himself. You see, it comes down to this. As long as they do what they want to do, everything is fine. But when someone stands up and corrects them, then they are judgmental. This is our society. I live out there. I see this every day. So let's look at some examples in the Scripture on the subject of judging others. Go to John chapter 7, verse 24. I want you to see that over there. And that's the words of Jesus right there. John chapter 7, verse 24. Just down. Look what it says. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You know what we do? We judge for what we see. I'm going to give you an example of this guy. He's sitting in the church with a suit and tie and his jacket and his shiny shoes. And he heard somebody walking in the middle of the church and during service. And he looks back and he sees this guy coming in with a big ponytail, cowboy boots, ripped jeans, wallet with a chain like somebody's going to, steal that thing. Here's the words. What a punk. You're judging what you're seeing. And sometimes we are all guilty of that. We judge what we see but if you get to know that person, you understand sometimes they have a better heart than we do. Amen. I learned that lesson that day. It changed me forever. And, it changed me even when I go out and I talk to people. I don't try to judge based on what I see. You know what? A human being right there. Yeah, sometimes they're a little rough. Life makes us rough, doesn't it? Problems of life and the difficulties of life sometimes makes us rough. But deep inside, that skin right there, there is a heart. And that heart can be reached for Jesus. And when that man walked in the church, I said, what a punk. And today he's one of my best friends. Amen. You see what happens? He got saved. I didn't tell him to go clean up. He cleaned himself because Jesus put it in his heart. And let me tell you this. Today he's one of my great friends. Actually, I was just talking to him Saturday. I told him, I said, when are you moving to East Bay? And he was laughing. So anyway. But anyway, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. What God says to me, you and me in here, it says, don't look at people and ultimately pass judgment of what you see. It is a dangerous ground to be there. Oh, well, yeah, I think you're not that good. What did you see in that person to come to that conclusion? We are guilty of that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. It means, reprove means correct them. As Christians, we are not to stay quiet, ignore, turn our eyes away from it because of somebody thinks that we are being too judgment. According to God's Word, Christians, we are required to make moral judgments, correctly discerning what is right and what is wrong according to God's Word. But we have to be careful because this is a fine line. We have to correct according to God's Word. And when you correct in God's Word, we have to correct in love. Not to correct on being judged and condemn that person. If a brother falls into sin, what is our duty? To reach that brother in what? Love. If a brother offends us, we have to reach that person, guess what? With forgiveness in love. Otherwise, we become judges. Ironically, this is not what Jesus means by this verse here. This is the way most people who quote this verse interpret right here. Oh, don't judge. It is said that many people have poor reading comprehension. It is said that people read something and don't comprehend the context on which they're reading. I tell you folks, don't read a verse in the Bible and say, that's what it says. Go before that, go after that, let the whole context come to your mind so you can look at the verse and say, oh, that's what it says. Otherwise, we twist God's Word and make God's Word say something that's never intended to be there. People fall in that trap all the time. Many will read this passage and think that Jesus is saying you don't call sin sin, and that you don't, that you can't comment on moral behavior and that you cannot judge people at all. That's not what God says right here. Alright? So the problem is if you can't judge something to be wrong, then you can't judge it to be right either. And so that the same thing, the same people who says do not judge when we make the moral judgment that a certain action is wrong are also judging when they're looking at you and trying to correct you. So when Jesus said do not judge, He does not prohibit making moral judgments. We must all make the decisions concerning what is right and what is wrong. The end doesn't justify the means, folks. Alright. So, Brother Tom comes to me tomorrow. Oh, I walk into church tomorrow and Brother Tom is here and he's putting a whole liquor bar out there and as you walk into church. He put the whole thing, open bar right there, and he puts the sign, free liquor. But anyway, and I walk in, and I'm like, well, I can't judge. You see what I'm seeing here? So we have to look at God's Word and say, oh, no, this is wrong. We have to correct my brother in love. You see what I'm trying to say here? Let it be. Jesus does forbid a critical judgmental spirit. This is where Christians must be careful of how they talk and judge others. Because if we don't be careful, our judgment towards others are wrong and unbiblical. What Jesus forbids is a critical judgmental spirit in this passage. He's not talking about evaluating behavior, but rather condemning people looking down on others. We find a good parallel in this verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Let me read it to you. But why thou dost judge thy brother? And why dost thou set not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Here Paul says, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? Listen, folks. If somebody is morally wrong, if somebody is walking in the paths of sin, we're not to go there with a critical spirit and point a finger at them and judge them like they're going to hell. We are to go and correct them in love. We are to reach them. You know what Jesus said? If you have the 99 sheep here and one is lost out there, will you? Do you go try to find the other one because these ones are secure? How did Jesus approach that sheep? In love. The very reason that he goes after him is because he loves him. The very reason that he puts him on his shoulders is because he loves him. We should do the same thing for one another. Amen. If there's no love, folks, we're just a bunch of judges. So, sad to say, but some Christians go a little too far on this topic of judgment. They point out the immoral wrongs of others, but in the eyes, those people are forever condemned. Some people are like that. I'll give you an example. In our home church many years ago, about 25 years ago, there was a couple there. And I shared this before here. And we were talking after the service was over. And what happened there was this couple, they're very friends with my wife, and then I come to get along because, you know, my wife used to work with them, with his wife, and then we got saved and all that. But she was literally crying and complaining how far was the church. The church was too far, how hard it is to get to church with all these children. They were going back. Then I was so, I tell you what, it was the kindness of my heart, believe me. And I said, I knew another church. I said, listen, you guys have a church like about 10 minutes from your house. Why don't you try that? It might help you. I was trying to help. Well, late in the afternoon when my wife was coming for choir, guess what happens there? He was waiting for me. I saw him there. I had no idea that he was. He said to me, hey, I want to say something to you. You offended my wife so hardly this morning. Well, did I say that? I say something that was inappropriate? He goes, no. He told us to go to another church. I said, I didn't tell you to go to another church. I just trying to help you. And says, maybe you should try that because of your crying. Folks, make the story short. I went to these people at least four times and asked them to forgive me. Four times, different times. And I felt that even after that, I said, enough is enough. After four times, I'm done asking forgiveness. They looked at me like judging me with their own very eyes and their very actions. See, sometimes we become judges and we never stop judging. We have to be careful with that. Let me tell you, it would suck the joy of the Lord out of your heart. You see, Jesus in this verse does not prohibit us from making moral judgments. We must discern right from wrong. We must teach God's commandments. We must proclaim the truth. But Jesus doesn't forbid you from having a critical spirit. We have to be careful how we correct others. We have to correct in love. Be careful, don't be a judge. Number two. Why shouldn't you judge others unbiblically? So we now know that Jesus means that when he says, do not judge, he is forbidding a critical spirit. Now why shouldn't we judge people unbiblically? Listen, if you're going to pass judgment on people, make sure you are the Bible. All right? Letter A, you are not a judge. Amen. You're not a judge. Look what it says in verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. Listen. Judges don't get judged. Look what it says. The first reason is very simple. You're not a judge. God is the judge. The Bible says in Genesis 18:25, God is the judge of the earth. So we're not judges. We're just creatures in this world. And let me tell you, we should not be passing judgment on others if we're not judges. We're not the judge. God is the judge. Unfortunately, some people like to set themselves up as judge, jury, and executors over other people's lives. They judge with a harsh, critical spirit. They are always looking at others' people's faults. You know, there are people out there, they're fault finders. That's their specialty. They're fault finders. They go from one fault finder to another fault finder. And we have to be careful with that spirit because we're becoming judges over others. They like to play the role of a judge. But there's a reason. God is a judge and we are not. We are not qualified to be judges. You know why? Because we're not perfect. Right. We're not. So why should I be judging other people when I'm not perfect myself? And instead of pointing the finger this way, we should point the finger this way. We should say, Lord, before I go to my brother and try to correct him, Lord, am I right with you? Do I have any sin in my life against you? Did I lie? Did I steal? Did I do this? Did I do that? Lord, forgive me first before I go to my brother. See, most of all, you don't know the other person's motives. You can see the actions, but you can see the actions, but you cannot see their motives. Sometimes you have to sit back and try to understand a person's motives. Paul writes it this way in Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or fell, or falleth. Yet he shall be hold up, for God is able to make him stand. So what Paul is saying here, you're not the judge of other people. You're not qualified to be a judge. Only God is a perfect judge. Actually, we see this in James chapter 4, verse 11. It says, speak not evil of another brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You see that? I'm not trying to be complicated this morning here. It comes down to this. We are not judges. And we have to be careful how we talk about others. Listen, if we're going to pass judgment on other people for their immorality, we need to use God's word. We need to say to people, the Bible says this way. The Bible says this way. Instead, I think is this way. This is my opinion. See, when you do that, you are becoming the judge over that person. We need to be careful with that. So when you set ourselves as a judge, you make yourself out to be better than the other person. And there's two problems with that. First of all, you are not. And secondly, you are a falling human being as well. So let it be, you will be judged by the same way you judge others. Look at verse 2. And with judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with that with measure ye meet, ye shall be measured to you again. God, Jesus is very serious right here. What he said, the same way you judge others, I will judge you. Some Christians say, I am saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and I will tell those heathens what they need to hear. Yes, we ought to correct those who are morally wrong. Yes, we ought to proclaim the truth and tell the truth. But you cannot go and say, if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, you are going to heaven, to hell. Listen, that is very drastic on that, isn't it? We know the truth, we understand, but how are we going to get somebody to get to the to get saved if we just going to on them? We need to show Christ to them, the love of Christ to them. We can say, listen, let me put it this way. Look at the words. If you don't receive Jesus as your Savior, you will die and go to hell. Listen, according to the Bible, if you don't receive Jesus as your Savior, when you die, according to the Bible, you'll find yourself in hell. You see what it says? You put God's word into the conversation. You don't become the judge. You just become the person that sends the information. Because ultimately, I can't save anyone, neither can you. We are the servants of the Lord. So if you are the servants of the Lord, if we are the ambassadors for Christ, we ought to tell the people what Christ says in His word. See, there is one way to talk to people, and there's one other way to talk to people. We have to be cautious of our words. Our words can tear down, or our words can build somebody up. So number one, be careful with your heart. God will judge you the same way you judge others. Are you harsh and overbearing towards others? Then God will judge you harshly. Are you loving and merciful towards others? Do you have a generous spirit overlooking the faults of others? Then God will show mercy upon you. God will treat you as you treat others. Jesus was already taught this principle several times in the Sermon on the Mount. And let me remind you, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, and it says, and forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debtors. So God even says this way, the way you forgive or the way you judge others, you will be judged yourself. We find the same principle in other parts of our scripture. We see this in Romans chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul talks about this. In the other words, Jesus says, may expect to receive judgment on the same basis on which you judge others. So, which measure do you use when you judge others? When you talk about a sinner, a lost person, when you talk about a family member, when you talk about a co-worker, how is your words? Listen, folks, we are specialized on tearing down people, don't we? We specialize on... I tell you what, we have to be careful. Folks, everybody loves to see justice done. I love to see justice done, don't we? I love to see, you know, the condition of our country. It burns my heart. All the wrong that goes on. Look what happened in Rhode Island this week. We have anybody can go to any bathroom. It's the law. You guys, some of you are not even aware of it. All right? General neutral bathrooms. There you go. Your heart cries out. You kidding me? It's no common sense anymore. So we're going to deal... I mean, you know, listen, folks. When you open the gates of sin, everything comes in. It keeps coming in. And don't think that... Listen, it's going to get worse. You see, you didn't know that. It was right in the news. They were applauding. It was great news. Oh, yeah. So my wife goes to the bathroom and the guy walks right in. I'm going to go right after them, too. I am telling you. What world we come down to? All right? I said, like, so you can't talk about it. Yeah, we can talk about it. We go through God's Word. And in love, we can teach them that is wrong. That is wrong. So once again, God urges us to be merciful to others rather than have a harsh, critical spirit. This is the second reason Jesus gives us why you should judge others. Let us see. Judge yourself before others. All right. Let's look at the verse. Look what it says. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, and behold the beam that is in thy own eye? You think that when Jesus spoke these words, they were laughing? Although the disciples, they would go like, this is hilarious. All right. All right, my brother had a stick of dust in his eye, and I'm talking about him. And I walk around with a 2x4 in my eye like this. Is this hilarious or what? You follow that? Here he is. Hey, you look at what you have in your eye there. You got to be careful. And I can't even see straight because look what I have here. That's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus said, listen, you walk around with a 2x4 sticking out of your eyes, but you have the audacity to talk about your brother that have a little stick of dust. And that's what we do, isn't it? And I believe when Jesus preached this thing, the people were just laughing. I mean, of course, he was talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees here, about what they were doing. But let me tell you, it goes to all generations. It goes to us. We judge around. We talk about others. And we walk around with this beam on our eye sticking out of it. But we fail to see it. But we look at that little piece of dust in the eye and go, oh, you got to take that. You got to go to the eye specialist. Oh, my, I feel bad for you. Look what's going on with you. You need some medical attention. Anyway, oh, you need surgery. Judge yourself first before judging others. Folks, you know what that says? Literally means, Lord, is my heart clean before you? Before I'm talking to about others, is my heart clean? Am I okay with you, Lord? Did I lie? Did I have been unkind to people? Or did I steal from you? What did I have done, Lord? Clean that. Take that beam out of your eye. Then talk about your brother. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's very practical. I'll tell you what, I love the Gospels. I'm going to tell you why. Because my Jesus is very practical in his teachings. Paul, on the other hand, you have to really... he's a little more complicated. But I tell you what, Jesus is very simple. He uses little simple things to convey a big story here. And that's... Listen, folks, it goes right to the heart of a human being because that's the way we are. We find ourselves talking about people. I mean, how many sometimes we have the round table with coffee and tea and we're like, and before you know it goes 1 or 2 hours and we don't even realize we... How many names did we quote that whole time? I mean, I'm including myself in the whole thing too. Don't get me wrong here. I mean, and we forget like, well, I'm being a judge over people. I'm talking about somebody else. And guess what? They don't have any. And we forget the beam that is sticking out of our eyes. I'll tell you what. Let me do this again.
It looks okay, but when you stick this thing in your eye, look at this. Wow. Reminds me of Brother Rosario when he plays the trumpet. Look at this. Wow. That is ugly, isn't it? That is an ugly thing. Walk around with a beam sticking out of your eyes. I bet that, like, if I was there, I'd be laughing. But see, judge yourself before judging others. What Jesus is saying right here, which is hilarious, is this. Before we pass judgment on others, we need to clean our very hearts. So number one, we know you know your own sins better than anyone else. Correct? Jesus gives us three reasons in this illustration why we should judge ourselves first. The first reason is this. You know your own sins better than anyone else. All right, you did something wrong. You know better than I do. You know yourself better than I do. All right, I can point it out. You know, you're not doing this right. But ultimately, you know better than anybody else. You know your sin because you know your weakness better than anybody else. We can try to hide, but ultimately we know our weakness. Folks, don't you know the things that cause you to fall? I don't know what caused you to fall, but I know what caused me to fall. And you know what is weak for you. You know better than anybody else. We know those things. Look at verse 3. It says, when I behold as the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not, so you don't even think about it, the beam that is in thy own eyes. See, the beam in this verse refers to a large piece of wood. So this beam, in your eye is not just like I put a 2x4. That's like a big, huge beam that comes sticking out of your eye. Can you imagine that? And that's full of humor right here. It is crazy to imagine this scenario right here. I'm sure it played up for last when Jesus mentioned that. People got it. They understood. The reason Jesus pictures your sin as a beam and your brother as a little piece of dust is because you know your sins better than they know your sins. And you know your sins better than you know their sin. Even though we know they're doing wrong. Whenever sin you may see in someone else, you know your sin better than you know their sin. Listen, now if I know somebody's doing wrong, I know they're doing wrong, but they know better, their condition better than we know. You only know what you see of your brother, but you know, you don't know his heart, you don't know the history of it. Jesus says that your sins are a beam in your eyes, but your brother is just a little piece of dust. When you ignore your own sin and concentrate on the sins of others, you will develop a harsh, critical, judgmental spirit that Jesus forbids in this passage. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about a harsh, critical, judgmental spirit. It's a spirit that forgets our own faults and we concentrate on the faults of others. That's what he's saying right here. It's not like, oh, you're not, of course, the world look at this and go, oh, you should not judge me. Who are you to judge? God says do not judge. No, that's not what God says right here. God says before we judge others, we have to look at our own sin so we don't come critical and harsh in spirit towards others. Because again, if we judge others, we have to judge it in love. And love always seeks the greater good. All right? Love always seeks the greater good. So if you judge somebody in love, you are watching your words, the way you speak, because you're trying to gain that brother or sister. You're not trying to destroy them. You follow that? There's two ways to judge. You can judge in love, and you can judge critically and destroy the person. We see this in our news all the time. When people come to the sports people, we see this politics, we see all these people, popular people, they come as judges and they bury that person. They totally don't leave that person until that person is totally destroyed. They didn't do that in love. They did that purposely. And sometimes, even though a person might be found innocent, the damage is already done. People will, when the name comes up, you know what's going to happen? That's what you're going to remember. That person's like this, and like this, and like that, like that. And that's the way you're going to know that person. You see, number two, it is hypocritical to care about other sins more than our own. And Jesus is pointing the Pharisees and the Sadducees here. He's saying to them, You are a hypocrite because you think more about the sins of others, but you don't look at your own. Isn't that hypocritical? I can't believe you're going on committing adultery against your wife and you're doing the same thing. Is it hypocrite? I cannot believe you're going over and stealing stuff from the grocery store. How could you even eat those grapes before you pay for it? And the next day you go in and you're picking on them. Well, that's what people do before they eat the grapes, right? The taste, make sure it's good. Imagine if I go to the grocery store tomorrow and I got the bananas at Top Peeling and eat the bananas. And I go, what are you doing? I'm tasting, make sure it's good before. Look, folks, I see this all the time. People go to the grocery store and they put strawberries. Well, that's good. Let me get this bunch. But they look at them and we judge them and we forget the next day we do the same thing. It's hypocritical, the Bible says, Gift. Jesus says, when we judge others and we are doing the same thing ourselves, why do you care so much about the other person's sin? It is because you care what God says and you want to win that person for God's glory, or is it because it makes you feel better? Sometimes, you know, people feel good when they see other people in pain. You say, Pastor, I'm telling you, there are people who live for that stuff. Their glory is to see people hurting. Their glory is to throw words at people to make them purposely hurt. So when we try to reach our brother or a sister or a lost person, are we trying to reach them for the glory of God? Or we are trying to do that to please our own selves, to make ourselves better than they are? Because I tell you what, we live in a society on which people think they're better than you. I'm telling you. There are a lot of people that think they're better than you. They look at you and they look down at you. They look at the car that you drive, they look down at you. They look at the house that you live, they look down at you. To you, to them, and nothing. That's the critical spirit. They judge for what they see, and that's where they... Some people say, I don't go to the store. Why? Because the kind of people that go there. You know what they're doing? They're being judgmental. People is people. Folks, at the foot of the cross, we all the same. Amen. It don't matter how much money you have, what house you live in, what yacht you might be driving, or driving in a war, whatever that is. It doesn't matter. You're the same. You're a needy person. It took me a long time to learn this way because I came from a society that you have the lower people and you have the rich people. And the rich people don't intermingle with the lower people. That was the society I grew up. It was such a disconnect. And I had to learn as I grew older, you know what? We're just people. It just happens that you have more than I do. Well, good for you. So God doesn't want us to be hypocrites. Number three, you can't help others with their sin until you can't help others with their sin until first address your own. We see this in verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thy own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Jesus said to you and me, when you clean the beam, when you have surgery and clean it up, guess what? Now you can see clearly. Now you can help your brother. Not judge your brother, help your brother. How can you possibly help your brother with a little piece of dust in the eye when you're walking around with a plank sticking on your own eye? Think about it. Jesus says you got to take care of your own sin first before you judge others. Letter D, God calls you to help others rather than judge others. Look what it says here then. Thy own eyes in verse 5. In other words, you should not ignore the dust of your brother's eye. We are not to ignore it, but we need first to take care of our own reality. The sin that is in our lives. Correct yourself first, then talk about others after. But when you do, we got to do it in love, not with the critical spirit. All right. Here's the father goes to the kid. Kid does something wrong. You never do right. You're always doing things wrong. I was on vacation with my family in Newport a couple years ago. I don't know if my wife remembers that. There was this girl and a boy, and it was mom and dad. And I don't know what the boy did, but I was right behind them. They're walking on the sidewalk, and the father looks at him and said, Kid, I am so tired of you. I'm sick of you. Everything you do is always wrong. I take vacations for you to appease you, and you're always doing things wrong. What a critical spirit. The kid just began to, this was a teenager, just began to cry. He was broken hearted. I felt bad for the kid. Listen, because you do something wrong today doesn't mean you'll be judged forever that you do everything you do is wrong. We have to be careful with our words. God calls us to clean ourselves first. I mean, that kid would be nice to say to the father, you do everything right, Dad? You always write about everything? Give you an example. I was at work one time. Almost done. I worked one time, and we were working. This kid works with us. His father was a general manager in a corporation, and it was at lunchtime, and a break time. And the father came to him and cursed this kid left and right. You know what the kid did? Curse the father back. And he looks at us and goes, see what world we live in today? There's no more respect. Was an elderly person there, guy, he had common sense. He said, what do you expect? Look at the way the words you throw at your son. Is that judging? No, that was the truth. That was the truth. Listen, if you want respect, you got to give respect. If you want people to treat you right, you got to treat people right. Otherwise, how you want people to respect you and treat you right if you treat them like they're nothing? You see, God calls you to help others rather than judge others. That's the work of a Christian, is to help others. Number three, what about those who refuse to be helped? Look what it says. And give not which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest they tremble under their feet, and turn again and rend them. Which brings us to our final point here. What about when you try to help somebody, and they don't want to listen to you? Listen, folks, there are people you can't talk to them about when they're wrong. They come at you with vengeance. Little Johnny is doing something wrong. You go tell mom and dad, what a mistake. Little Johnny is perfect, doesn't do anything wrong. I say, listen, you did this and that. They listened to the kid before they listened to you. So, letter A, you cannot force the gospel on people, folks. Listen, we want people to get saved, but you are not to force the gospel on people. Hey, pray with me, 1, 2, 3, you're saved. That's not how it is. My son has an experience one time. He was petrified, came home, he was working at McDonald's, and a guy from our church came in, grabbed the girl that was serving doing the cashier, and she started talking, he started talking about Jesus, grabs her hand and says, no, pray with me, 1, 2, 3, you gotta pray with me. And the girl was like, his eyes were like this, and she was afraid of the guy. He walks out and he goes, she's saved, walks out, he walks out of the place, and my son goes, he called me, Dad, you don't know what happened. No, you can't do that. You cannot force the gospel on people. You have to tell the truth to people that Jesus saves, but don't force the gospel on people. Now, let it be. Do not engage those who treat the gospel with contempt. Listen, there are people, we ought to tell people all the time about Jesus Christ. But when people become like vicious, mean to you, eventually we need to let it go. Don't stop praying for that person. But that person totally reject God's word. Look what it says in Proverbs 23:9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for you will despise the wisdom of thy words. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You see what God says? You see this example here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14 says, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, then ye depart out of that house or city. Shake off the dust of your feet, God says. Let us see, understand the supreme value of following Jesus and His Word. Understand the supreme value of following Jesus and His Word. There are a reason Jesus uses the image of sacred things and pearls in this verse. And that is because there's nothing more valuable than following Jesus and His Word. How can you throw God's Word at somebody that acts like a pig or treats it like a swine? God says, they will not listen to you. You see, the Bible says in Matthew 13:45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls. And verse 46 says, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, when that sold all that he had, he bought it. I tell you what, salvation is a precious, precious jewel. And those who find it, find a great treasure. You wonder why heavens rejoice when somebody gets saved? Because it is a precious jewel. And you don't throw that jewel or give it to swine. That's what Jesus said. You don't give it to pigs that don't want God. I conclude with this. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? If you were to die right now, are you 100% sure you were going to heaven? As a Christian, here's the question. Are you a judge? You're walking around with a beam sticking out of your eye? Or you try to correct your brothers and sisters in love? Do you look at yourself first in your heart before we pass judgment on others? Folks, I think this is a message that fits all of us, including this pastor here. We need to hear that. Because we live in a world today where people, this is the word of the day, do not judge me. Do not judge me. So how are we going to judge people according to God's word? We need to judge immorality, wickedness and evil in our world. But we need to do that in love through the word of God. Please don't give Christianity a black eye. Amen. That's the problem of our day. The many people are giving Christianity a black eye. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage of scripture. We went a little longer this morning, Lord, but Lord, it needed to be said. I pray for these dear people here today, including myself, Lord. Help us not to be judges over others. And help us always, Lord, to, when we say something, when we correct someone, always do it in love. Because ultimately, Lord, we want them to be saved. Ultimately, we want to correct our brothers and sisters for them to grow in the Lord. And I pray, Father, Lord, if there's someone here this morning who never received Jesus as Savior, may today they call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.